देवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायामुधीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपाकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः नमो पंकजनाभाय नमो पंकजमालिने नमो पंकजनेत्राय नमस्ते पंकजांग्रे ओम अज्ञान तिमिरंदस्य ज्ञानांजना शलाकया चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः मूकं करोति वाचालां पंगुं लंगयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे श्रीगुरु दीनतारिणं परमानंदमाधवं श्रीचैतन्यमीश्वरं नमाओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे वांछा कल्पतरूभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा We welcome all devotees to our Sunday feast program and I seek permission and blessings of all assembled Vaishnavas. Today of the nine processes of devotional service, we are going to discuss Dasyam, serving the Lord in servitude, in the mood of servant, Dasyam. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam. And now today, Dasyam. Dasyam, or being the servant of the Lord, is the most important of all the nine processes of devotional service, because this is the most important ingredient of all the other eight also. Like Shravanam, for example, you can't really do Shravanam unless we are in the mood of a servant, humble servant. I want to understand what is the truth. So there is Shravanam, also there is Dasyam. Kirtanam, we can't glorify the Lord, we can't chant constantly unless we are Kirtanya Sadahari happens only when there is Trinadapi Sunichena and there is a mood of being the servant. And Smaranam, we can't remember the Lord constantly unless we are in the mood of a servant. Padasevanam means serving the lotus feet of the Lord. So basically Dasyam is the essential ingredient or the essential it is the foundation of all the different rasas also. Even in Madhurya Rasa, the essential mood is to please Krishna, to serve Krishna. In Sakya Rasa also, Krishna's best friends want to give pleasure to Krishna, want to make him happy. So dasyam is there in all the rasas. Being the servant is very natural to a devotee. Only when we are naturally situated as a servant, we can please Krishna. Srila Prabhupada says all of us are always servants. Either we are serving our own senses or we are serving Krishna. We are serving our mind and senses or we are serving Krishna. We may claim that I am nobody's servant. I am master. I am Ishwara. No, but we'll end up keeping a pet and we'll serve that pet, dog or a cat. Ultimately, that propensity to serve cannot be wished away. So, servitude is there always. So now we have to choose whether we want to serve Krishna or we want to serve Maya, the illusory energy of the Lord. And if we take the first example in the Srimad Bhagavatam of Parikshit Maharaj, he was absorbed in this mood of being the servant of the Lord. Of course, Hanuman is a classic example, and we'll discuss about Hanuman also. But if you see, the Bhagavatam begins with the glorious character of Parikshit Maharaj being revealed to everyone. And we can see Parikshit Maharaj, although he had seen Krishna when he was in the womb of his mother, but still he maintained the mood of being the servant of everyone. Later in the 17th, 18th and 19th chapter, we come across how Parikshit Maharaj faced the biggest danger with ease and confidence because he was fixed in this mood of being the servant of the Lord. He had subdued a personality none other than Kali. He was so powerful, such a valorous ruler. He ruled the whole planet. But because he had been cursed by Sringi, Parikshit Maharaj was destined to die in 7 days. After Parikshit Maharaj had put the snake on Shamik Rishi's neck and he had walked away, he started lamenting, he started repenting. Srila Prabhupada explains very beautifully that Parikshit Maharaj did not make any mistake. You know, for a king to do that, it is actually a very simple thing. He was not envious of Shamik Rishi. He was thirsty, hungry, and in Vedic culture, there is hospitality shown even to an enemy. What to speak of the emperor of the whole planet who has come. And because Shamik Rishi was absorbed and he didn't see Parikshit Maharaj, out of Krishna's divine arrangement, Parikshit Maharaj was compelled, he was actually kind of dragged by the Lord's energy to put that snake on the shoulder of Shamik Rishi, a dead snake. And then he walked away. Now what is important is to see the mood of Parikshit Maharaj. His whole life, his whole career is filled with service, dedication. Just one small mistake, apparent mistake. Our life is filled with mistakes, and some small little good thing we do, we want everybody to recognize it. And here Parikshit Maharaj, excellent character, excellent behavior, but one small mistake. And that too to the Lord's arrangement. And the proof is, Prabhupada gives amazing proof, that Parikshit Maharaj was not affected by hunger and thirst. If he was actually affected, then how could he, for 7 days and 7 nights, hear Bhagavatam without food and water? So he is actually absorbed in Krishna. But Krishna arranged the situation. And although he made a small mistake, he condemned himself. See, this is most important. The attitude, the mood of the devotee, internal mood is more important than the external mistakes that a devotee does. So Parikshit Maharaj made a mistake, apparently. But what was his mood? He was genuinely repenting. He was telling, Papi asi Vijadeva Gobhya, O Krishna, I am a sinful person. I am offending the Vedic culture. I am against the Brahminical culture. He actually protected cow. The previous chapter, when he is confronting Kali, he has been glorified as the greatest ruler who protected the Vedic culture. And here he is condemning himself for a mistake he did. Whereas Sringi, although he cursed the king for having offended his father, he was very proud. Iti langita maryadam takshako saptamehani danshati sma kulangara chodito me tatadruvam. Let this king die in 7 days, and kulangara, he is the lowest in the kula. So like that, Sringi chants verses after verses condemning the king as a crow, as a dog. So Sringi had power, but he had no attitude. He had no mood of understanding, being empathizing with the person who is struggling. Whereas Parikshit Maharaj, perfect ruler, a small mistake and is condemning himself. So in that mood, he walks back. And he is telling, he is internally praying to Krishna, Krishna, let me suffer for the sins I have committed. And in this mood, he is thinking. Suta Goswami reveals, Sachintaya nittam matashuno dyata mune sutokto niratis takshakakya sasadumene nachirena takshaka nalam prasaktasya virakti karanam. So Parikshit Maharaj is doing chintan. He is thinking, how did I commit such an offense? How fallen I am. Sachintayan ittam atashruno dyata. And that time, he got the news that he has been cursed to die in 7 days. Just imagine, you get the news that you're going to die. When you get the news of cancer, we all will go through some upheaval in life. Some deadly disease is announced. You're going to die in 2 months, 2 weeks. So atashruno, then he heard, mune sutokto niratis takshakakya. He heard that the muni's son has cursed him that he will be bitten by takshaka. So what was the first reaction of Parikshit Maharaj? This is the test whether he was actually in the mood of a servant or not. So I may say, Prabhu, I'm your servant, Prabhu. I'm fallen servant. But when you do something which I don't like, I may shout. So you know, we all are tested. I may claim to be a servant, but in a provoking situation, I may act like a master. But Parikshit Maharaj, in the most provoking situation, how did he react when he was told he is going to die in 7 days? The first reaction was, Sasadhu mene nachire na takshaka. Sasadhu, he said, great news. He was already repenting that I did a mistake. I deserve to be punished. And when he got the news, immediately he said, Sadhu, this is good. This is proper justice. Nalam prasaktasya virakti karanam. Now I can give up this kingdom and atone for my crime. Generally, you know, we may say I'm a servant. But what happens when some provoking situation comes? We act on the level of the false ego. So am I really a servant? Am I really practicing the principle of dasyam? Is not revealed during good times. You know, when you are healthy, when we are happy, when we are comfortable, it's nice. It's easy to be nice. Like there is a story of Akbar and Birbal. That one man came to Akbar's kingdom and said, I know all the languages. You can ask me questions in any language, I'll speak fluently. So he spoke in all the languages, and then he said, now my challenge is, I want somebody here can guess my mother tongue. Is there anyone who can make out from the way I am talking my mother tongue? So everybody was saying, but every language he speaks so well. So they didn't know what is his mother tongue. So Akbar said, our kingdom, you know, we will be humiliated that we could not find out the person's mother tongue. So he is speaking so fluently in all the languages. So Birbal said, I will find out, but give me one day. Tomorrow I'll tell you what is your mother tongue. What is your... So he said, okay. So that night when this man was going back to the place where he was taking rest, Birbal sent a man to follow him. And when this man went and he was going alone, so this servant came with a bucket of water, cold water, and suddenly threw it on this man. So you know, that water fell, immediately shouted in his mother tongue, he gave gali. And then he started shouting, why did you throw water on me? So the servant said sorry and he ran away. And he noted it down. And Birbal knew. What happens during provoking situation? What was there? That came out. Jo andar jo rehta hai, usko hum daba ke rakhte hain, out of manners, politeness. But at the right time it comes out. See, internally we are fixed in the mood of a servant, then even in a provoking situation, if this is Krishna's desire, I'll accept it. You know? So what is inside, it cannot be hidden for long. That's why it is said that inside outside should become same. There has to be congruency inside and outside. Like, you know, in our when we were doing youth preaching, once in the base we had served sweet rice. So there was one devotee who was like very sense controlled. Sweet rice, this all, this is not good for the health. And he was very, he was on a diet he was following. And I was looking at him, I knew that he loved, he was looking at the sweet rice, but, you know, he was acting very tough. And he was telling others, hey, sense control karna chahiye. In the night, when I got up to go to the bathroom, I saw he was opening the fridge and he was eating sweet rice. The bacha hua sweet rice. So then I realized that if inside, outside is not same, the inside will one day or at some point of time, the inside will take revenge. You know? So if inside is something else than outside, then Krishna will arrange, material energy will arrange situations where the inside will come out. So dasyam, servitude is not an external act, like in the airlines, you know, when you travel they say welcome, you know, we want to serve you. You know, they make such nice announcements when you get on at CST railway station, there's a big announcements made, you know, that we are happy to welcome you, we want to serve you, Indian Railways is happy to serve you. Who is serving whom? Everybody is, you know, everybody is talking about service, service, service. But actual servitude is revealed by the mood that we cultivate in the heart. And Parikshit Maharaj passed this test. When it was announced that he is going to die, he immediately said, what did he say? Sadhu. Yes, now I will give up everything. And then, now look at his mood. He took this as a blessing. This is a devotee. One who is fixed in the mood of being a servant of Krishna, he considers every obstacle as an opportunity to increase his service. Aho vihaye mamamum cha lokam vimarshito he yataya purastat krishnangri seva madimanyamana upa vishat praya mamartya nadyam. He went to the bank of Ganges understanding that vimarshito he yataya purastat. He considered all other practices of religion to be inferior compared to what? Krishnangri seva madhimanyamana. To serve and surrender to the lotus feet of Krishna is the highest path. This is the realization Parikshit Maharaj had. And he considered this impending death, such a big disaster, as a great blessing because it is now giving him a chance to take complete shelter of Krishna. And in this mood, he went. And this, you know, during those days, the news would spread really fast. Everybody, nowadays we think we have WhatsApp and Facebook, we can really be fast. But imagine our messages, maximum it will go to people in this planet. But when Parikshit Maharaj decided to leave everything and go on the bank of Ganges to absorb himself in Krishna, the news spread to all the planets and the saintly personalities from all the planetary systems descended to come and see such a great king, the emperor of the planet, giving up everything and taking shelter of Krishna. Imagine what sensational news it would be today if a prime minister or a president of a small country decides to give up everything and take shelter of Krishna. What then to speak of the prime minister or the ruler of the whole planet? And the news spread. And who came? The Bhagavatam describes all the saintly personalities. Tatropa jagmur bhuvanam punana mahanubhava munaya cha shishya prayena tirtha bigama padeshe swayam itirthani punanti santa bhuvanam punana. From all the planetary systems, the most pure souls. And they came how? Mahanubhava. They were all mahanubhava. They were great souls. Mahanubhava cha shishya. They came with their disciples. It's not that they told their disciples, you hear from me. No. They said, you also come. They took their disciples also. They all came to see Parikshit Maharaj and take his darshan. And why did they come? What did they tell everywhere? Where are we going? Prayena tirtha bigama padeshe. They said, we are all going to a holy place. Now, what is a holy place for these great saints? To meet a great devotee who is absorbed in Krishna. Because Sutta Goswami is saying, what is the need for these people to go to holy place? Swayam tirthani punanti santa. These santas are themselves tirthani. A devotee is himself a holy place. Tirti Kurvanti Tirtani Swantastena Gadabrita. Because he is carrying Krishna in his heart, he is so much absorbed in Krishna, that person becomes holy place. So here is Parikshit Maharaj, he is being called as a sacred holy place. By who? By the Mahanubhavas, the greatest souls of all over the planet. And they all came to see Parikshit Maharaj. Just imagine, emperor of the planet, who had subdued Kali, and here he is giving up everything, and all the great saints are coming to see him and take his association. And when they come, Sudha Goswami says, what happened? What did Parikshit Maharaj do?
Annecha devarshi brahmarshi varya rajarshi varya arunadayascha nana shreya pravaran sametan abhyarcha raja shirasava vande.
So all came, all the Mahanubhavas came, and then devarshi, see, these are all categories of great souls. Like we have, you know, we have so many titles we give. In companies we have, no? Vice president and president, director, like that, different. So even among saintly people there is different designations. Devarshi, Brahmarshi, Rajarshi. So they all came. Arunadayascha. Arunadayascha is also another category of great souls. So Brahmarshi, they all came. And what did they do? Nanashraya. And many more came to see Parikshit Maharaj. And what did Parikshit Maharaj react when he saw them? Abhyarcha Raja Shirasava Vande. He paid full obeisances to each one of them and thanking them and begging them for mercy. He didn't say, okay, you all have come, I'm the emperor of the planet, I'm giving up. He didn't feel proud, he didn't feel that they are coming to take his association. He felt grateful that now he is going to get association. They actually came to get purified by association of Parikshit Maharaj, but Parikshit Maharaj considers himself fortunate and he tells them, you have come not because I am a great soul. You have come because you are very impressed by my ancestors, by my grandparents, the Pandavas. Now my grandfather Arjuna and my grand uncles, all of them are great devotees of Krishna. And you know that they will be pleased if you bless me. That's why you have come. See, it's so easy to get bewildered by false ego to think that I am such a great soul that I am attracting so many people. But Parikshit Maharaj, because he is convinced, I am servant, he is seeing all the people who have come as his benefactors. They have come to bless him because they are devotees of Pandavas. This is very important actually mood of being a servant. Nowadays if you see the whole culture, the propaganda is how I am master. I am in control. Because of this mood, because of this attitude, we create a lot of conflicts. Forget the external conflicts. Internally we create a lot of conflicts. Our Shyamanand Prabhu was telling on Tuesday, Bhagavatam class, beautiful point, that Bhaktivedanta Hridaya Thakur said, if we simply decide to become a servant, we are relieved of the burden of trying to be an enjoyer in this world. So to be an enjoyer is a big burden that we are carrying. And that burden is, you know, that thing is very heavy. And it only causes agony. And the whole propaganda is like that. If you see, you go to a movie, for example, you see in a movie, you know, the hero is bashing the villains. And so the person is watching, he thinks he is a hero. He identifies with the hero. And he thinks he is the center of the universe. So that thing is, you know, subtly enters that consciousness that I am great, I am powerful. And then you come out of the movie theater and you try to start your bike, it doesn't start. So it's frustrating. I'm just giving a simple example. You know, reality is not like that. We are not in control. Sometime ago, I was at Gopal's Garden High School and I heard a lot of noise and a lot of commotion. I came out and I saw a big crowd and I saw one boy completely beaten, black and blue, looked like a beggar, a poor man, all clothes were soiled, ragged. And then Krishna Gopal Prabhu was there, who was senior manager there. I asked him, what happened, you know, and he told me the story. He said, there was this young boy, he had worn very good clothes and he had a girlfriend on his bike and both of them were going that road fast, they were driving. Suddenly some man came, he stopped and he shouted at that man that you can't see, you know, don't you know how to behave, you should know how to cross the road, and he hit him on the head. And he acted very smart. He acted as if he is a big boss there. But little did he know that the man whom he chastised was the local gunda there. He was a big... So in a second he whistled or he did something, suddenly a group of people landed up there. And they caught this boy and they bed him black and blue. And as they started beating him, that girl jumped off the bike and she disappeared somewhere. She was nowhere to be seen. So we are laughing, but it is very painful actually. What he must have gone through after that. How, what a shock for him, no? He must have thought, I am great, I can dismiss anyone, you know, very contemptuously, I don't care. And here, he is, I mean, the reality strikes you. So none of us are in control. Actually, we are tiny, we are insignificant. But we generally avoid discussing this. It's a reality. In the bookstall also, when one of our brahmacharis were at the book table, and you know, enthusiastic, young, new brahmacharis are very enthusiastic for book distribution. So one couple came to the book table, for this man had his girlfriend in his arms, and you know, very stylishly he came, he picked up the Bhagavad Gita, he said, oh, this is a nice book. For this brahmachari preacher, with enthusiasm, he pointed to that 5.27 verse where Krishna says, I am the enjoyer. He said, Krishna says, Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam. Krishna is the enjoyer. Nobody else is an enjoyer. Everybody is enjoyed. But this boy got so angry, he just threw the book down on the table. He said, what do you mean I am not an enjoyer? And he walked away angrily. So it was a wake up call for us also to understand how this is very deep rooted. This concept that, you know, why I am not an enjoyer? But the reality of this world, the world has been designed in such a way that only when we are fixed in the consciousness that I am a servant, we are peaceful. Because we are naturally situated. Otherwise, when we alter this position, we are always miserable. And look at Parikshit Maharaj's mood. Such a powerful king. And now when all the sages have assembled, now they are looking up to him with great expectation. Now he is addressing them. How does he address them? This is also very interesting.
Aho vayam danyataman rupanam mahattamanu grahaniya shila ragyam kulam brahmana pada shaucha durad srishtad batagarya karma.
He says, batagarya karma. I am a king who is addicted to low and sinful activities. Aho vayam danya. Oh, I am so blessed today that you all have come. And why have you come? Because you are greatly impressed by my ancestors, Pandavas. And who am I? Parikshit Maharaj calls him as Ragyam Kulam Brahmana Pada Shauchat. In the Vedic culture, people would wash their feet outside the house and then they would enter the house. The toilets in Vedic culture would be outside. So there is a difference between Vedic culture and modern culture. In Vedic culture, people would eat food inside the house and they would go outside and pass stool. Nowadays, they eat food outside the house and they come and pass stool inside the house. That's a different subject matter. But so he is saying that Ragyam Kulam Brahmana Pada Shauchad. For these kings, they are like a place where you go and wash your feet. The emperor of the planet is saying, I am supposed to be avoided by saintly people like you. I am Pada Shauchad. I am a place where you clean your feet. This is the emperor telling all the sages, this is my position. Durad Visrishtad. I should be kept dur, very far away. But still you are coming. This is your glory. So you see what a mood Parikshit Maharaj is having. That I am insignificant. Actually a leader, especially a king, when he is in this mood of being a servant of everyone else, then there is peace. Servant leadership is a very popular concept. And history is filled with examples of people who destroyed themselves and their whole community and nations because of not being in the mood of a servant. For those of you who are well acquainted with Indian history, know, in school we had third battle of Panipat. This is one of the millions of examples in history. So this happened in 1761, around that time. So this is such an incident, 250 years later also people talk about it. In Maharashtra, Maharashtrians, if you go, everyone knows this incident. Especially they know it in detail. So what happened? The great Marathas were ruling a great part of India at that time. Aurangzeb had already died long time. And then Shivaji was also no more. The Marathas were very powerful. And they were traveling with a huge group of more than 130,000 people, out of which around 40,000 were pilgrims. They were all going to holy places like Banaras and like that. So, and they had 1 lakh soldiers. And Marathas were ruling and they were getting taxes from everyone, Rajputs, Jats, and the Sikhs. Everyone was paying tribute to the Marathas. And Marathas had become very proud at that time. Sadashiv Bhav, Vishnu Bhav, there were 3-4 leaders. And each one wanted to be a leader. He wanted to be the main ruler of the Maratha confederacy, the Maratha group. So they were all traveling with great pride that we will easily conquer. And they knew that Afghans had come at Panipat. They were camping there to further move down. And they were led by Ahmad Shah Abdali, Ahmad Shah Durrani, very powerful rulers. And they had troops of almost 70,000 soldiers. So this building up, the heat was building up. And on the Makar Sankranti day, very auspicious day, 14 Jan that year, was the most disastrous day in the Indian history. In fact, it is said that this is one of the worst battles and wars ever fought. Because in that one day, imagine, believe it or not, one day, 1 lakh soldiers were killed. Such gruesome war. And what happened after the war? The next day, the next 2 days, Afghans had massacred the Marathas, completely devastated, and they captured 20,000 women who were molested, 14,000 children were beheaded in front of their mothers. Oh, it's like gruesome. And this is not, this is all the accounts given by different historians confirm. It's not that one historian have written this. So there is one Peter Hamilton, he was from the Bombay Gazette, so he wrote a whole report. And the same thing is also reported by the Afghan rulers, by the other historians. So such a devastating, and what happened, and all historians have analyzed, this happened because of the arm twisting tactics of the Marathas. Last minute, just few days before the war, the Rajputs sent a letter saying that we are not supporting you in the war. Sikhs said we are not coming. Jats said we are not coming, because the Marathas, wherever they would go, they would do Dadagiri that time. So these people, see, when you know that you are in control, that's the time when you have to be a bigger servant. You have to be actually in a mood of service. But because they were bullying, they lost support. And the critical time when they wanted help, they lost. And till today, you know, in Marathi they have a saying also, Panipatla Gela. You know, somebody has got destroyed, business has collapsed. It's like, you know, Panipat Gyao. Matlab Gyao. That has become a part of their lingo, such the impact. It is said that every Maharashtrian, every family, somebody from that family had gone to this war. 1 lakh soldiers killed. It was a massacre. So this is recent history. And like this, if you see, Indian history is filled with examples of people wanting to be master. Like how British entered India. This is a classic story. We had in 9th standard, Battle of Plassey. You have heard? Palashi, which is when we go to Ekachakra from Mayapur, we come across this place, Plassey. So 1760, around that time only, 1757, Battle of Plassey. So that time our Robert Clive, he was heading the British East India Company's army. And this is the greatest, shocking news, because Bengal was ruled by Nawab Siyaj-ud-Dawla, very powerful ruler. The whole of Bengal was under him. But look at this powerful controller and master. He had an army of 45,000 soldiers, plus French East India Company's tanks, cannons, so much weapons, 70,000 soldiers in total he had. And they were waiting for this war. And Robert Clive walks with his British East India Company's soldiers of only, believe it or not, 3,000 soldiers. So when they were camping and they were walking, everybody was laughing. Kya chal raha hai? What kind of a war is going to happen? 3,000 soldiers are going to fight against 70,000 of Nawab Siyajuddaulah, whose commander in chief is Mir Jafar. Arey, this is a joke. Robert Clive is a fool. And Robert Clive very confidently was marching to the battlefield, and he went on a terrace of one. They had made a makeshift accommodation there. He went on the terrace of that to watch all his army camped. And in June 1757, some day, they had a war. The war began. Robert Clive fully confident. And guess what? This war changed the history of India. With 3,000 soldiers, he defeated Nawab Siyajuddaulah, and he lost only 10 people. 8 or 10 people died from his army. Why? Because Nawab Siyajuddaulah's commander-in-chief, Mir Jafar, he had been already bribed by Robert Clive. And Robert Clive told him, I will make you the king of Bengal. So he, from inside, instead of giving orders to attack, he created such a confusion that the whole army got destroyed. By the sunset, Nawab Siyajuddaulah was arrested, he was killed, and Mir Jafar was made king, and within 1 year the British killed him also. So that's how ambition and desire to be master, controller, this is all, this is just Indian history. European history is also filled with all this. So there is no dearth of stories. So Parikshit Maharaj's example, when we are reading, this is just the beginning of Kali Yuga. And now, this principle is completely violated. And you know, when Parikshit Maharaj is telling all of them that I am like a place where you wash your feet, I am lowly, I am insignificant, the sages may say that no, my dear king, the proof that you are a great soul is you have left your kingdom. Who will leave? You are a great soul. Before they could say that, anticipating such a response from the sages, Parikshit Maharaj clarifies why he has left. Now, why he left everything? We heard few verses before. He left everything because he wanted to take shelter of Krishna. But to these sages, he tells them, I left all this because tasaiva meghasya paravaresho vyasakta chittasya grihesho abhikshnam nirvedamulo dvijashaparupo yatra prasakto bhayam ashudatte. Bhayam ashudatte. I am living in fear. Parikshit Maharaj, who defeated Kali, and is so fearless person, he is saying, I am living in fear. And taseva meghasya paravaresho, I am agasya, I am most sinful person. And my consciousness is chittasya griheshu abhikshtam, in household affairs, materialistic activities I am absorbed in. Therefore, nirvedamulo dvijashaparupo, Krishna has so kindly come in the form of this shap. This curse is Krishna. How many of us, we are not able to see even blessings as Krishna. Here is a personality who is seeing his curse as Krishna. Nirvedamulo tujashaparupo yatra prasakto bhayamashudatte. Now, because of this curse, I can leave this kingdom. And because I am afraid, I am forced to leave. So like that, he is very, very humbly saying and taking the responsibility for his situation. And the proof is, you know, he has said that I am fearful. The next verse, immediate next verse, he says to all the sages, I am not afraid. In the sense, he says, you just glorify Krishna to me, I am completely happy. Tammopayatam pratiyantu vipra ganga cha devi drida chittamishe vijopasrishtha kuvakastakshakova dashatvalam gayata vishnu gata. He says, let that magical bird Takshaka come and bite me, I have no fear, as long as all of you are glorifying Krishna. Ganga cha devi drida chittam, my mind is fixed in Krishna on the bank of Ganges. So please go on Vishnu Gatha, go on singing the glories of Krishna. And then he tells all of them that if at all I have to take birth again, because I am very attached householder, I beg all of you to bless me that next birth let me get association of devotees.
पुनश्च भूयात् भगवती अनन्ते रति प्रसंगाश्च तदाश्रयेषु महत्सु याम्याम् उपयामि सृष्टिम् मैत्रस्तु सर्वत्र नमो द्विजेभ्यः.
He folds his hands and tells all the sages that please bless me that punascha bhuyat, puna agar mujhe janm lena pade, to give me three things. Bhagavati anante rati, give me attachment to Krishna.
Prasangas tadashrayeshu, give me shelter of devotees. And then maitrastu sarvatra namo dijebhya, let me have compassion for all living entities.
So this is the prayer and mood of the emperor of the planet, who is actually in the mood of a servant. Generally in this world, a servant, a beggar who has nothing, he is thinking he is a great controller. Exactly the opposite. Actually, if you see, one of the shocking things which shook me about how mind can get bewildered is the way the Vijayanagara Empire got destroyed. You know, this Vijayanagara Empire was founded by Hariharan and Bakka in 1336. Very, very powerful empire. And for the next 250 years, the whole of South India, almost till north of Karnataka, and the whole top, the bottom, the whole thing was ruled by Vijayanagara Empire. And after 200 years, around 1529 to 1525, that time Krishna Devaraya, you heard of Krishna Devaraya, very powerful ruler. He was so powerful that Babur, when he came to India, he writes in his Babur Nama that Krishna Devaraya is a household name in India. Such a great powerful ruler. And after he died, and then few other rulers came, and then Achyutaraya, then finally there was Ramadevaraya. And when he came, a silly act, the whole thing got destroyed. He became so proud. That time, you know, all the other kings, there were Bahmani Muslim kings, Gulbarga, Golconda, Ahmadnagar, they were all fighting amongst themselves. They were always disunited. And he became so proud because they had so much wealth, unimaginable wealth they had amassed. Vijayanagara, the way the kingdom flourished in the 16th century is unimaginable. So many historians, travelers, they have written in their books, French travelers, everyone has glorified the Vijayanagara Empire. And what did this Ramadevaraya do? He called these Bahmani kings when they were to pay their taxes. He made all five of them kiss his feet. He was sitting on the throne. He made them, you know, he's so proud. He became so proud and arrogant that I'm the master, undisputed ruler. Kiss my feet. And that was so humiliating for them. So what they did? They all united. We have a cause now to be united. And then they attacked. And that battle, I forget the name. Talakot battle. That battle was a fatal battle where Ramadevaraya was killed. And after he was killed, in 2.5 days, in 2-3 days, that whole empire was ransacked, looted, burned. So what was amassed over 250 years, in 2 days, it became a desert town. So this is history. This is not some grandmother's story. This is reality. You know, controllers, masters, pride, arrogance, this all always created, whether it is the Roman Empire or up to the modern times. This is the reality of this world. Of course, now that doesn't mean that servant means one who is very inactive, timid. Parishit, don't misunderstand. Parishit Maharaj was not somebody who was, you know, very, very lallu type person. Oh, theek hai, I'm servant, all of you. No, devotee, dasyam mood means do the needful for Krishna. If it means war, war. Arjuna was humble. Arjuna was fighting a war as a servant of Krishna. So basically, humility is bravery. Being a servant is a very brave thing. It is not a timid thing. It is not that you are weak, so you are servant. No, it requires a lot of courage to be a servant. And so we have other example. Now we saw Parishit Maharaj, how he presented himself. We have Hanuman's example, which we saw in the drama. So how was Hanuman? Hanuman is actually the best example for Dasyam. Rupa Goswami gives, for example, for Shravanam. Who is the example? Kirtanam, Sukhdev Goswami. Smaranam, Prahlad Maharaj.
పాదసేవనం లక్ష్మీదేవి, అర్చనం పృతుమారాజు, వందనం అక్రూర్ ఎస్ అక్రూర్, అండ్ దాస్యం హనుమాన్, సాఖ్యం అర్జున, ఆత్మనివేదనం బలి మహారాజ్. సో నౌ దాస్యం బెస్ట్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్ ఇస్ హనుమాన్ ఇస్ ఆల్వేస్ అబ్జార్బ్డ్ ఇన్ సర్వీస్ ఆఫ్ లార్డ్ రామ్. సో హౌ దే మెట్ ఫస్ట్ టైమ్ ఇస్ ఆల్సో వెరీ ఇంట్రెస్టింగ్. కబంధ వాస్ కిల్డ్ బై రామ్ అండ్ లక్ష్మణ్, ఈజ్ అ గంధర్వ హూ హడ్ అస్యూమ్డ్ షేప్ ఆఫ్ రాక్షస, అండ్ దెన్ హీ హెల్ప్ లార్డ్ రామ్ అండ్ లక్ష్మణ్. హీ టోల్డ్ దెమ్ దట్ ఇఫ్ యూ గో టు రిషియముఖ్ మౌంటైన్ సుగ్రీవ విల్ హెల్ప్ యూ టు డిస్కవర్ సీత. సో వెన్ దే కేమ్ టు పంపా సరోవర్ దేర్ దే మెట్ హూ? శబరి. ఆఫ్టర్ శబరి పాస్ టైమ్ దే ఆర్ సర్చింగ్ ఫర్ సుగ్రీవ, అండ్ దట్ టైమ్ ద బ్యూటిఫుల్ పంపా సరోవర్ దట్ ద ఫుట్ హిల్స్ ఆఫ్ ద మౌంటైన్, లార్డ్ రామ్ వాజ్ ఓవర్ వెల్మ్డ్ విత్ రిమెంబరెన్స్ ఆఫ్ మదర్ సీత. హీ సా ద బ్యూటిఫుల్ యెల్లో చంపక ఫ్లవర్స్ అండ్ హీ రిమెంబర్డ్ సీతాస్ షైనింగ్ గార్మెంట్. దెన్ హీ సా ద రెడ్ బ్లాసమ్స్ అండ్ హీ రిమెంబర్డ్ హర్ లిప్స్. హీ సా వైట్ స్వాన్స్ ఫ్లయింగ్, హీ రిమెంబర్డ్ హర్ కాంప్లెక్షన్. దెన్ హీ సా పికాక్స్ అండ్ పీహెన్స్ మీటింగ్, హీ రిమెంబర్డ్ హౌ సీతా వుడ్ అప్రోచ్ హిమ్ లవింగ్లీ. సో లైక్ దిస్ రిమెంబరింగ్ సీతా, లార్డ్ రామ్ బికేమ్ సో ఓవర్వెల్మ్డ్. హీ స్టార్టెడ్ వేలింగ్ లౌడ్లీ అండ్ సో ఇంటెన్స్ వాజ్ హిస్ క్రైయింగ్ that the sound reached Rishyamukh mountain top where Sugriva was hiding in fear of Vali, and Sugriva had his four other accomplices. One of them was Hanuman. Sugriva, when he heard Lord Ram's crying, he ran inside the cave and he told Hanuman and others that look at this, there are two very powerful men who have come. They have been sent by Vali to kill me. So they all came out and they saw, and Hanuman, he observed them carefully and he said, they have not come to kill you, they look like royal sages. And Sugriva said, no, we can never trust an enemy, Vali could do anything. Hanuman, you go down dressed as a Brahmin and find out who they are and get all the information. So Hanuman put on a disguise and he approached Lord Ram, his worshipable Lord, in disguise. And when he came in front of Ram and Lakshman, he offered obeisances and he said, who are both of you? You look like royal sages, aristocratic, but you are dressed as ascetics, and you have this powerful bow in your arms and your swords. So I am surprised. What brings you here? Although you are welcome, but who are you? So Ram looked at Lakshman, and as Lakshman was about to speak, Ram looked at Hanuman, and Hanuman immediately, his heart, Hanuman was a devotee of Lord Vishnu from birth, and he suddenly felt he knows these two people forever, and he felt, what's happening to me? And then he realized that this is my worshipable Lord. He began crying. Tears came in his eyes and immediately paid full dandavat. And before Ram and Lakshman could speak, Hanuman revealed his own identity, that I am Hanuman. And he told about Sugriva and he cried. And Lord Ram embraced him. And Lord Ram turned to Lakshman and said, see, what a wonderful vanara this is. How gracious, how elegant, how nicely he speaks. He is so cultured. We are so fortunate to have met him. And Hanuman cries, and then he begs the Lord. He says, you are my worshipable Lord. I have been looking for you since childhood, since my birth. And why could I not recognize you, my dear Lord? The Lord said, because you put on a disguise. Yatamam prapadyante am satya pajanam. As one approaches me, I approach. So if we put on a mask, if we put on pretension in front of Krishna when we come, then Krishna also is not revealed to us. So Hanuman, Then Ram and Lakshman are very happy that now Sugriva, we are going to meet Sugriva. Hanuman assumed a big shape. He put Ram and Lakshman on his shoulders, and in moments they were there with Sugriva. So Sugriva, Hanuman is the foremost of all servants of Lord Ram. In India, everybody talks about Hanuman, isn't it? There is nobody in India who has not heard about Hanuman. And Hanuman's stories are innumerable, his exploits are wonderful. In fact, the whole one Sundarkand in Ramayana, one of the six sections is dedicated to Hanuman's heroic activities in service of Lord Ram. Yeah, and he is in the mood of a servant, a dasyam. To serve Lord Ram, he did so many exploits. So he was in the party which went to south to look for Sita. He, Angada, Jambavan were in that party. And when they were leaving, Lord Ram gave a special ring to Hanuman, because Sugriva told Lord Ram that Hanuman is most likely to find Sita. And Lord Ram also felt Hanuman's enthusiasm. So he gave the ring. If you meet Sita, give this ring. And when they were searching, they came on the bank of the ocean and they were like exasperated. They couldn't find Mother Sita. And they thought, now we will all have to go back being failure and Sugriva will punish us. So Angada said, let us commit suicide. Let us fast unto death. What is the use of our life? We are not able to find Mother Sita. So they all sat to do fast unto death on the bank of the ocean. And as they were sitting, they started singing Lord Ram's pastimes. So Angada said, Lord Ram, Jatayu laid down his life for Lord Ram. Today we will lay down our life. And as they were talking like that, one huge bird, vulture, huge, came out of a cave. That bird had no wings. And that bird thought, today my lunch has come. So many vanaras are there. They are going to fast. After they die, I am going to eat them. So as this bird was standing there, waiting for them to die, he heard Angada saying the name Jatayu. And immediately this bird said, who is calling the name of Jatayu? Jatayu is my brother. I am Sampati, the older brother of Jatayu. Who is talking about him? What happened to him? And then Angada looked at Sampati and told him that Jatayu's pastime, how Jatayu laid down his life for Ram. And Sampati started crying. Sampati said, I and Jatayu, we were the most powerful birds. When we were young, we flew, we tried to catch the sun. And when we went so high, the heat was too much for us to take. So I covered Jatayu with my wings. And when I covered, the sun rays pierced my wings and both of us fell down. But Jatayu was saved because I had protected him. But I lost both my wings. So now I'm hiding, I'm sitting here in this cave and I have no power. And I was about to give up my life when one sage, Chandrama, he told me, don't give up your body, very soon. Very soon means after some thousands of years. Very soon Lord Ram is going to come here and you get a chance to serve him. So now I am hearing that you are talking about my brother Jatayu and I want to serve you. So then Angada told that we are looking for Mother Sita. And then Sampati said, yes, I know where she is. She is in Lanka. And he said, I can see. In fact, although I have no power, no wings, but my eyesight is very strong. I can see Lanka and I can see Mother Sita is there. And then all the monkey soldiers became very happy. Jambavan, Hanuman, they said, now we will get Mother Sita. Meanwhile, Sampati was blessed that once he does this service to Lord Ram, he will get his wings back. So he got his wings and he flew away. And then Angada, Jambavan and all the monkey soldiers were thinking, now how do we cross this ocean? How do we find out more about Mother Sita? But Jambavan said, you know, I can jump 700, it is 800 miles long ocean. Jambavan said, I can jump 700 miles. Angada said, I can jump all the 800 miles. But I'm not sure that I'll be able to come back. And Jambavan said, even if you can come back, you should not go because you are our prince regent. You should not go. So different monkeys said, one somebody said, I can jump 200 miles. Somebody said 300 miles. And Hanuman was sitting quiet. And Jambavan said, Hanuman alone can do this job. But he doesn't know it because he has been cursed. When he was a young child, he had so much power that he tried to get the sun. So Indra hit him with his thunderbolt and Hanuman was killed. And Vayudev got, his father got so angry that he withdrew the wind, air from all the planets. And then he was brought back to life and all the demigods blessed him with so much power. So much power that, and then he became so naughty. He started disturbing all the rishis, for the rishis cursed him that you will forget all your power until one day somebody reminds you of it. So Jambavan said, today Hanuman, I am reminding you, you can do this job, nobody else can do. So go and find about Mother Sita. Hanuman became very happy. He paid respects to, and dandavas to all the other monkey soldiers, and he rode in great joy. He said, Jai Shri Ram, Jai Shri Lakshman, and he went on the mountain top, and with great joy and force he jumped across the ocean, and that's where he met first mountain Mainaka, which rose high just to offer him rest, shelter. And Hanuman said, I'm on a mission, no rest now. So he flew, he just touched Mainaka and he flew. Then Surasa was a Naga goddess. Actually the demigods told her that you please test Hanuman, because he is going to Lanka, he will be severely tested there. If he cannot pass this test, how will he go to Lanka? So you test him. So Surasa came and she said, you cannot go beyond, Brahma has blessed me that whoever comes in my path has to enter my mouth. So Hanuman, so she made her mouth 20 yojanas, so Hanuman became bigger, 40. So she made 60, Hanuman made 80. So Hanuman just couldn't enter, he was so big. Finally she made her mouth 100 yojanas, huge. Then Hanuman suddenly became small, entered her mouth and came out and said, see, I fulfilled your vow, now let me go. Surasa was very happy. She said, you are a very clever monkey. I bless you that you will be successful in your mission. So acharyas say, how this is how we deal with, you know, in this world everyone wants to become big. You are big, I'll become bigger. You are becoming bigger, I'll become biggest. You become biggest, I'll become bigger than that. But the solution for this is, one has to become small. So we have to become small. And then Hanuman became small and he crossed this hurdle. Then when he went further, whom did he meet? I don't think they showed that in the drama. Simmika was the next demoness. She had power, she could capture a person from the shadow. So Simmika saw, and Hanuman was feeling, he's pulled down, he's going down. And when he came down, he saw Simmika is with her mouth open and she's pulling Hanuman down. Hanuman went, he just hit her so hard, he went inside her mouth. And then he tore apart her body from inside and came out. So this is, Simmika is compared to envy. Envy makes you pull the other person down. So envy ka ek hi solution hai, usko maar dalo. You know, you can't circumvent it. So envy has to be destroyed. And then he came to Lanka. And there whom did he meet? Lankini. Lankini was the guardian of Lanka. She was at the gate. And Hanuman, when he entered, when he came to Lanka, he saw the golden city. Huge. He wanted to enter. He took the size of a small cat. Small size. And was entering, Lankini stopped him. Lankini said, you monkey, you think you can escape me unnoticed? No way. Actually, Hanuman had reached in the morning. He left in the morning, he reached, before afternoon he reached Lanka. But he waited till sunset. He said, sunset is a good time to enter the city. But as he was entering, Lankini stopped him. She said, you cannot pass me, you cannot enter this city. And Hanuman assumed his normal size. And he took his fist and hit her. But he didn't hit with complete force. Why? Because she was a woman, Valmiki says. So he hit her and she fell unconscious. Hanuman could have walked away, but he waited. He waited for her to get up. So after some time, she got consciousness. She got up and she said, Are baap re, itna mara, jor se. And then Hanuman said, I'm going. Nobody can stop me. I am servant of Ram. So Lankini said, go. Today I know, Brahmaji had told me that Lanka will be destroyed when one monkey will come. And monkey will come and slap me. So you are the one who is going to herald the destruction of Ravana's kingdom. So she allowed him to go. Of course, Hanuman was anyway going. And he entered. And when he entered, what he saw is mind-boggling. All the streets were made of gold. Everywhere there were flowers decorating. So much opulence. And then he went. He saw somewhere people were chanting Vedic mantra. Some Rakshasas. Some Rakshasas were practicing fighting. And some places he saw Rakshasas were preparing for war. And somewhere Rakshasas were enjoying music, dance. So there was full activity whole night. Just like modern civilization is Lanka civilization. Because life begins after 8 p.m. So fully lit city, Lanka civilization. So whole night there were activities going on. Full energy. So Hanuman went everywhere searching. And Hanuman also noticed, you know, Hanuman was an expert warrior also. So he saw all different Rakshasas, different. Then he could also notice some of Ravana's spies. he said, he saw some people, if they are spies, they are going around looking if somebody is entering their city. So Hanuman could make out everything. And finally he was looking, if it's Sita to mil nahi rahi hai, Sita kahan hai? So he was searching. Finally he came to Ravana's palace. And Ravana's palace is described, it's a big area, and that whole area was surrounded by 1 lakh soldiers, bodyguards. Look at the protection he had. 100,000 soldiers outside Ravana's palace. And inside that campus was huge palace, 7-storied palace of Ravana, where each room was 8 miles in length and 4 miles in width. This is huge palace. And within that palace area, there were many buildings, and behind that palace was Ashoka Grove, where Mother Sita was kept. And that was also guarded by 50,000 soldiers. And inside that was Mother Sita, who was harassed by Rakshasis who had misshapen bodies. Some Rakshasis had big ears, some had pointed teeth, some had long noses, some had extra eyes. All, you know, it was quite a sight. So like this, they were all there. So when Hanuman entered Ravana's palace, he started looking for Mother Sita everywhere, and he could not find. But he was seeing so much fragrance, so much music, so much activity going on. And then he saw different women in different rooms, all, you know, semi-clad, some intoxicated. Then he said, what am I doing? I'm a brahmachari. What am I seeing? And then he realized, no, I'm in service of Lord Ram. I'm not doing anything wrong. He became happy. And he continued to search. And there he saw one lady, extremely beautiful. And immediately thought, this is Sita. Extremely chaste she looked. And then suddenly he said, but this lady is on a bed, a royal bed. She can't be Sita. And she looks happy. No, Mother Sita would not be here. And that was actually Mandodari, Ravana's wife. And the next palace, next person immediately Hanuman saw was Ravana. Huge personality. And first thing Hanuman felt anger. He could make out this Ravana. Like this, Hanuman saw the whole palace, could not find Mother Sita anywhere. He became very despondent. And now the sun was about to rise. Pura raat nikal gaya, dhoondte. And then he saw a huge garden. He said, maybe Mother Sita is here. So he went there, and there he saw, under one samshapaka tree, he saw Mother Sita looking like a diamond filled with dust. She is extremely beautiful and graceful, but her clothes were soiled. She had not eaten or taken bath since she had been kidnapped by Ravana. And Hanuman's heart started beating, and he knew that this is Mother Sita. And with great joy, he wanted, but he was now confused how to approach her. Because if he approaches her, she will know that she may get suspicious. She may think Ravana has sent someone. See, as he was planning how to approach Mother Sita, he heard music. There is a time for Ravana to wake up. And now Ravana was being woken up by his servants. And Ravana dressed himself nicely. And Ravana came to the garden to see Mother Sita. Ravana would come every day to convince Sita to marry him. And Ravana walked. And he had 100 maids following him. And Ravana was dressed. He had big red earrings, big crown, big golden clothes decorating his body. And as he walked with 100 maids behind him, Ravan went below under that very tree where Hanuman was hiding. So Hanuman saw Ravan is coming, so Hanuman just hid himself still. And as all of them walked by, Hanuman jumped following them, going towards where Mother Sita is. And Ravan was walking, and a lot of music, sound, and his golden bracelet, it got stuck with the necklace, and he hurriedly removed it. It got entangled. Then he came in front of Sita and gave a big smile. And yet, while walking, he was composing poems. Ravana was composing poems to impress Sita. So this was every day this would happen. He would come, Sita would get angry with him, she would be disgusted, she would not even look at him, and Ravana would go back angry. And again, next day morning, he would come prepared to convince her to marry him. Of course, he couldn't force Mother Sita, not because he was a gentleman, because he was cursed that if he ever forces a woman, he would die. So that's why he was forced not to use force. So Ravana came and looked at Mother Sita and said, "Oh Sita, I have come here to serve you." This is the first thing he said. So he also thinking he is serving.
but I have come to serve you. Why do you lie so despondent? I am the best man you can have as a husband. Forget that weak, useless Ram. He has already died in the forest. Look at me. I am fit to be your husband. I am the ruler of the whole planet. I can give you luxuries and pleasures that only gods know. And time is passing by very quickly. Very soon you will become old and die. Before that, as long as the youth remains, let us enjoy. Become my wife. And I will present the whole planet as a gift to your father, Janak Maharaj. And I am sure that after your birth, Brahmaji took retirement because he could not make anyone more beautiful. This is you are the perfection of beauty. So like that he composed his poetry, his praises. And as he was speaking all this, Mother Sita was so disgusted. Her hands were on her knees and she was looking down crying. And she just blasted him. She said, "You insolent wretch, how dare you think that you can ever get me? How can I, once having put myself in the arms of Ram, ever think of another man? I think there is nobody in Lanka who has any sense. Maybe there are people, but you are not going to listen to anyone. Very soon Ram and Lakshmana's arrows will pierce upon Lanka and destroy this city." Like that she started heavily chastising. And when she chastised Ravan, Ravan became very angry. He said, "You deserve to be killed, but my love for you prevents me from killing you." "And now, because you are so arrogant, I am warning you. Just a few more days are left for the 1 year to get over. If you don't yield to my proposal, my servants will kill you and cook you for my morning meal." That was his love for Sita. That he wanted to eat her for breakfast. So then he walked away. And when he was walking, he told the Rakshasis that, "See that she surrenders to me. Praise her. Make her angry. Scold her. Torture her. Do what you want. But for her own interest, see that she yields and surrenders to me." And Ravana walked away. And all the Rakshasis started telling Sita, and then Herbert Sita was quiet, and then they all went away. And Trijata was one of the Rakshasis who was there. She was friendly with Mother Sita. And so when all the Rakshasis went, Trijata went and told Sita, "Don't worry, you are safe. You know, Vibhishan, he has been telling Ravan, giving good advice, but he's not listening to anyone. But I recently had a very good dream." And Trijata was an expert in analyzing dreams. She said, "I dreamt that Ravana is being killed. And I dreamt that a huge army of monkeys is coming to Lanka. And I saw in my dream a huge white chariot with a handsome person with you along with his side. Both of you dressed in white garments. So I am seeing a lot of auspiciousness. Very good times are going to come." So like this Sita was pacified. And that time Sita's left side started throbbing. So she felt something good is going to happen. And then, as all the Rakshasis dispersed to nearby areas, Hanuman saw this is a good time to meet Mother Sita. But Hanuman was wondering, "How do I enter now? How do I present myself? Because if she sees me, she may suspect it is Ravana." So he got an idea. He sat on the branch of the tree where he was and he started singing poems glorifying Lord Ram. He began by saying, "There was a great emperor named Lord Dasharath, who had a very wonderful noble son called Lord Ram." So like that he started composing Ram's stories up to that point of time. And when Sita heard her Lord being glorified, she came running below that tree to see who is glorifying my Lord. And she saw Hanuman. And Hanuman saw that Mother Sita has seen him. He came down and he offered obeisances. And then Sita first got afraid. She said, "Who are you? Are you Ravan?" He said, "No, I am a lowly servant of Lord Ram." Mother Sita said, "How do I believe you?" And then Hanuman described the bodily features of Ram and Lakshman, and Mother Sita got convinced that he is actually a messenger of Ram. And then Hanuman presented the ring which Ram and Lakshman had given. And Sita began to cry in profuse gratitude. And then Hanuman told Mother Sita that, "Mother, now don't worry. Now Ram is soon going to come. Lakshman is going to come. And we are going to rescue you. But I have a suggestion. Why don't you come on my shoulder? And we will fly across and I will take you to Lord Ram." So Sita, when she heard this,
she became perplexed because Hanuman at that time was the size of a normal monkey, small size. She looked at him. She said, come on your shoulders. You? So Hanuman was surprised. First time somebody had challenged him. He said, oh, then he realized Mother Sita doesn't know my power. So immediately he became big, huge size. And when Mother Sita saw, he's like a mountain. She became very happy. And Hanuman said, Mother, now you come on my shoulders. I will take you to Lord Ram. So then she said, no, you know, if I come on your shoulder and you fly, you will fly so fast that I will fall off from your shoulder. And I will fall into the ocean. And the sharks will eat me. Or when you fly, suddenly all the Rakshasas will wake up. They will chase. So they will shoot arrows. So you will have to fight them also and save me also. Not possible. But most importantly, I have vowed never to touch any man other than my Lord, Lord Ram. But because Ravana forcefully brought me here, I had no choice. But I will be happy if Ram comes here with Lakshman and rescues me from Ravana. So Hanuman was very happy to hear this. And he said, yes, Mother, we are going to soon come with an whole army of bears and monkeys and we'll rescue you. So after he assured Mother Sita and he was about to come back to where Lord Ram was, he thought, thoda abhi dasya ras ka alag ek flavor dete hain. let me know the strength of, you know, you should know the strength of your enemy also. What is the use of, you know, going all the way to Lanka but not knowing the enemy's power? So Hanuman said, let me do some testing. So Hanuman saw that in that garden there were a lot of huge trees, lakes. He went, he picked up a tree and started banging and started breaking all the trees and started shouting and roaring loudly. It was very close to that was Ravana's palace. After breaking all the trees and everything, created a big noise. In seconds he did this. And then there was a huge iron rod lying at the gate of that park, that garden. He picked up that iron rod, started swirling it and shouted at Ravan, Ravan, where are you? Just see, a small monkey has come to destroy your city. So Ravan heard, and all the soldiers are ready to attack, and Ravan said, wait, this is not an ordinary monkey. Nobody has the guts to come to this place. This is definitely sent by Vishnu. Ek koi ordinary person nahi hai. Appears like a monkey. So nobody should go to kill him. We will send the most special soldiers. So Ravan sent Kinkaras. Kinkaras were special Rakshasa soldiers. He sent 80,000 of them to go and kill this monkey. So when they came, Hanuman with that iron club, iron rod, in seconds, in minutes, he destroyed the Kinkara army. And everywhere there was blood, all the broken bones, and they fled. All the remaining few ran away from there. Lord Ram in Janasthan, some months ago, he had killed 14,000 soldiers led by Kara and Dushan in 2 hours. And here in minutes, Hanuman, Lord's servant, does more than the Lord by the Lord's grace. So Hanuman in minutes killed 80,000 soldiers and they all ran completely shaken. And then Ravan got the news. He was shocked. He felt all Kinkaras destroyed. So then he sent his main commander, Jambumali. He said, you go and capture this monkey. Jambumali was a very powerful warrior. He came, and as soon as he came near Hanuman, he shot an arrow straight at Hanuman's head. And Hanuman started bleeding profusely. And then he shot 100 arrows all over Hanuman's body. Hanuman's body was fully covered with arrows. Hanuman somehow released. Then again 100 arrows. Hanuman had no strength. Fully was covered. And then Hanuman used his strength and he released himself from the arrows. And he picked up a huge boulder and threw at Jambumali. And Jambumali in an instant with 2 arrows crushed it into powder. Then Hanuman picked up a salt tree and threw at Jambumali. And Jambumali broke that also with his arrows. So Hanuman realized it's very powerful. So then Hanuman said, I should go back to my basics. He went back to that iron rod which he had kept outside. He picked it up and he went to the sky and he came crushing down from the sky with that iron rod and hit Jambumali on the head. So hard he hit him that Jambumali's head got crushed inside his body and his body became a shapeless mass and it crushed his chariot. Chariot got broken and the driver of the chariot also got killed. Everyone got killed at the same time by one hit by Hanuman. And then Jammu Mali was killed. And then Hanuman roared, "Ravan, come out! I can kill 1,000 Ravanas! Why are you hiding? Send your best Rakshasas!" And then, when Ravan got the news, he was shocked. And as Ravan was trying to gather his wits, Hanuman went to a nearby hill. There was a nearby hill. On top of the hill was a temple of the Rakshasas. They used to worship a local god. So he went, he first broke the temple. Temple ka pura satyanash kar diya. He broke all the walls, windows of the temple. And he broke that hill into two. So do tukda kar diya. So this is the impact he was creating. And then again he went to that gate of Ashoka Grove, waiting for more Rakshasas. Then Ravan sent 7 of his most powerful commanders of the army. And Hanuman, in the complete mood of Dasya Bhav, servant of Lord Ram, he faced these 7 soldiers, 7 generals of Ravana's army. He killed them with his palms and legs. He hit karate kicks and he kicked them. And all 7 were killed only by his hands and legs. Then Ravana sent 5 of his most innermost security warriors. And these 5 warriors who came, Hanuman killed them with his fist. And 2 of them somehow escaped. So he got an idea. So 2 of them came with bow and arrows to kill him. So that hill he had broken into 2. Oh, hill ka jo aadha tukda tha, wo hill utaya. And Hanuman threw it on both of them and both of them were crushed under that hill. So like this you can see how many Hanuman was doing maha seva. He was doing maha cleaning of Lanka. Everyone. Then finally Ravan said, "I will only go and catch him. But before that, one last chance I should give to my son Akshay." Akshay Kumar was very handsome, young, powerful prince of Ravana's, one of younger sons of Ravana. And he went with his chariot. When Jammu Mali came, Jammu Mali had come in a chariot driven by 100 huge horses which had face of spirits. And Akshay Kumar, when he came, he had a chariot driven by 8 horses. And when he came on the scene, and he was so dexterous, he was flying in the air like Hanuman and he was shooting arrows. And Hanuman was also impressed by Akshay Kumar. He said, "Wow, he's a very powerful warrior, but I can't waste time." So Hanuman flew, because Akshay Kumar was also on the sky and both of them were fighting in the air. So Hanuman went much higher and he came flying down and directly grabbed Akshay's legs and then swirled it in the air and threw him on the ground, and Akshay was killed. Till now all the people were killed by Hanuman, Ravana was getting angry. But now Ravana also got sad because his son was killed. Then finally he told Indrajit, he said, "You are the one who can capture this monkey. Don't kill him. I want to know who he is." So Indrajit came. And Indrajit came, Hanuman knew that he's Indrajit. Why? Because Indrajit's chariot had Indra's flag, which shows that he had defeated Indra. And when Indrajit came, there were 1,000 soldiers playing the wooden tom-toms, making sound. And Indrajit came on a chariot driven by 4 huge tigers, which were the size of elephants. This was the way he entered the battlefield. And to make a point, Hanuman, so far whoever was attacking Hanuman, they were bleeding Hanuman with their arrows. But Indrajit could not hit Hanuman even with one arrow. Hanuman avoided all the arrows of Indrajit. And then Indrajit took Brahmastra. And Hanuman had already been blessed by Lord Brahmaji that he will not be attacked by Brahmastra. But still, because he wanted to meet Ravana, if it had a chance milega. So he allowed himself to be bound by Brahmastra. And when he was captured, Hanuman pretended to be afraid. So they brought him in front of Ravan. And in the assembly, Ravan said, he told his mantri, Prahastha, "Find out who this monkey is." So when Prahastha asked Hanuman, Hanuman said, "I am servant of Ram. An ocean of monkeys and bears are soon going to come and destroy your city. O Ravan, O foolish creature, release Mother Sita and seek forgiveness from Lord Ram." So when Ravana heard this, he got wild. He said, "Kill this monkey." And Vibhishan said, "You cannot kill a messenger. He is a messenger." And Ravan said, "He is not a messenger, he is a killer. He has killed so many of our people." And Hanuman said, "I was forced to kill. Actually, I am a monkey. I was just playing in the garden. Monkeys play. And I am a restless monkey. But they came to attack me. So out of self-defense, I had to kill them." So Vibhishan said, "He is right. You cannot kill him." So Ravan could not say no to Vibhishan. So Ravan said, "You burn his tail." Because monkeys are fond of their tail. Then
when he dies, when his tail is burnt, and if he's still alive, then he can go back. For all the monkeys, all the Rakshasas laughed, and they put oil on his, the cloth soaked in oil, they put on his tail and they burnt him. They burned the tail. And that time Hanuman was paraded on the streets of Lanka. He suddenly became small, so the ropes became loose. And then he came out and he assumed a huge shape. And suddenly he felt, my tail is being very cool. Generally fire means hot. Well, what had happened, Trijata went running to Mother Sita and told her that Hanuman's tail is being lit on fire. And immediately Mother Sita prayed to Agnidev that, my dear Agnidev, if I have done anything good in my service to my Lord, please see that Hanuman's tail is not burnt. So Agnidev made amazing effect. Fire, but cooling. So Hanuman was saying, itna cool kaise lag raha hai? So Hanuman said, this is the power of Lord Ram. And then he said, no, this is definitely blessing of Mother Sita. By her devotion to Lord Ram, I am feeling no burning. And then Hanuman jumped from one terrace of the building to another and he started burning the whole city. All the Rakshasas started running here and there. One Rakshasa said, this is Indra, come to Lanka to take revenge. Another Rakshasa said, no, this is definitely Lord Shiva, the annihilator. Another Rakshasa said, no, this is Yamraj who has come to Lanka. Another Rakshasa said, this is Vishnu who has come to destroy us. As they were all speculating, Hanuman burned the whole city. And then when he came by on the bank of the shores of the ocean, he was wondering if Mother Sita is safe. Because in his apparent anger, he thought he had destroyed even Mother Sita. That time Charanas were flying in the sky. They assured Hanuman, no, Mother Sita is safe. So Hanuman became very happy that Mother Sita is safe. Ravana's palace was not burnt. Because Agnidev was afraid of Ravan. He thought, baad mein wo panga lega mere se. So Agnidev had not done anything to Ravana's palace. But Hanuman had created a big impact. This is also a service. How he did Dasyam, Seva. So like this, Hanuman, amazing service he did. And then he came back to Lord Ram. And Lord Ram was so happy with him. Lord Ram embraced him and said, Hanuman, the only gift I can give you is an embrace. And Hanuman said, my dear Lord, the happiness you are experiencing in your heart, that is the gift that you are giving me. That is my desire. So those who are in the mood of service, this is the way we please the Lord. And there is so much more we can discuss, but now we have no time. I would like to conclude that how do we practice now Dasyam? How can we all practice the same mood like Hanuman, like Parikshit Maharaj? We can practice by trying to be the servant of Krishna's devotees. Bhaktivedanta Thakur would say, one who says he is a servant of Krishna, I don't have time for him. But one who says he is a servant of Krishna's devotees, I have time for him. So we approach Krishna by becoming servant of Krishna's devotees. Maharaj Kulashekar, one of the greatest Alwars and one of the most powerful kings of South India, he has composed Mukundamala Stotra. And in his prayer he says, Mat janmani falamidam madukaita bare mat prarthaniya madanu grahadesha eva tad brittya brittya paricharaka brittya brittya brittascha brittya itimam smaralokanatha. He says, Mat janmani falamidam madukaita bare. O killer of Madhu and Ketapa demon Krishna, my janma will become phala, the paripurnata, the perfection of my life will be mat anugrahat esha eva. If I get this one blessing, then my life will be perfect. What is that blessing? Tvad vritya vritya paricharaka vritya vritya vrittascha vritya itimam smaralokanatha. If I am smaralokanatha, eh natha, if I am remembered in this world as what? Vritya, vritya, paricharaka. Vritya and paricharaka means servant. If I'm remembered as servant, tad vritya vritya paricharaka vritya vritya, servant of servant, vrittascha vritya itimam smaralokana, servant of, seven times he's saying, I want to be servant of. Gopir Bhartur Padakamalayor, das, 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 anudas. So I want to be the servant of devotees. So this is the mood in which a devotee approaches the Lord. And that is the way we practice Dasyam. That is the way we please the Lord. His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj lecture I was hearing today morning. Amazing class. He is saying how he learned the principle of servant was in a very interesting way. He says, as a young traveler in Vrindavan,
he was very attached to Vrindavan, and he didn't want to. He attended Prabhupada's lectures in Vrindavan after being already attached to Vrindavan. And there, some of Prabhupada's disciples were all falling sick because they were not used to Vrindavan. And Maharaj had got already used to Vrindavan's lifestyle, sleeping on the banks of Yamuna. So they told, Radhana Swami was that time a young Richard, he was traveling. So they told, you are always healthy, you are not falling sick. Why don't you become Prabhupada's servant? So Maharaj is saying in that class, that I was such a fool. I am such a rascal. I had such a great chance to become Prabhupada's servant. And I said, I will become servant of Prabhupada only if he lives in Vrindavan. Because I was thinking I am very attached to Vrindavan. How can I leave Vrindavan? And if Prabhupada leaves Vrindavan, what will happen to me? So I said, no. I refused that service. I am such a fool. And when I refused, all the devotees started shouting at me. They said, you are a rascal, you are sejia, you are smarta, you are foolish. And everyone was upset with me. And I was feeling very sad. I was saying, I want to serve, I want to be in Vrindavan. I had taken a vow of Radha and Krishna that I will not leave Vrindavan. And when I had a chance to serve Prabhupada, very foolishly I said, I will serve him only if he remains in Vrindavan. I lost a chance. And devotees are scolding me. I was feeling sad that they don't understand what is Vrindavan. And then after some days, one day Prabhupada saw me. Prabhupada looked at me, straight into my eyes, and said, how long are you living in Vrindavan? And when Prabhupada looked at me, I got so scared. I thought, now he's also going to chastise me like all the others. And very fearfully I said, Prabhupada, I am here in Vrindavan last 6 months. And as my heart stopped beating, Prabhupada looked at me with a penetrating glance and he smiled and said, Vrindavan, 6 months? Vrindavan is such a wonderful place. Thank you. And Srila Prabhupada left. And that time Maharaj said, when I heard that, I became so happy that this person appreciates Vrindavan. This person understands me. And immediately I wanted to give my life to this person. So he said that I was not able to practice servant of servant. But Srila Prabhupada was serving all of us. He was giving me the hope. And he was giving me happiness. So that's what gave me confidence to give my life to him. So this is how Srila Prabhupada actually captured the hearts of devotees. He gave Krishna consciousness because he was in the mood of servant. He cooked for the devotees. In the first initiation ceremony he conducted, he only cooked, he only cleaned. He only gave all the, he did all the seva. So like that, Srila Prabhupada has made this principle very integral to Krishna consciousness, to be servant of servant. In Kumbh Mela, when devotees told Srila Prabhupada that we will also carry you in an elephant like all the big Mahamandaleshwars are going, Srila Prabhupada said, no, I will not go in the elephant. We will keep Radha and Krishna on the elephant and I will be below because I am their servant. So this is our mood. And in this mood, let us practice Krishna consciousness. And as Narottam Das Thakur says, Tadera Charana Sevi Bhakta Sanevas Janame Janame Hoye Yeya Bilas. Birth after birth, our desire is to remain in the association of devotees and render devotional service to Krishna in the mood of being the servant of servant of servant of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you very, very much. अगर जन्माष्टमी के एक महीने पहले आपको यहां मेरे को खड़े होकर देखकर प्लीज कैन यू सिट डाउन प्लीज फॉर सम टाइम यहां मेरे को खड़े हो देखकर आपको अपने जन्माष्टमी कलेक्शन की याद आती है तो आई वुड बी हैप्पी टू डू दिस सर्विस